loaded. We are page 114. And we did yesterday about Kulam. You see, our Kulam is brought from Shim Chom Akedus and Milan Voed, where we say that Hashem's name should be blessed and uplifted. And then we go to L'chol HaChaim. And L'chol HaChaim is the final part of the bracha. Between the Baal Kulam and L'chol HaChaim, we say, as you see in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we say, Uksov L'chaim Tovin Kol B'nei B'Yisecha. That's, of course, because of the juxtaposition with the word Chaim here and the word Chaim in the next line. So therefore, it's a good place to put it in. What's interesting, though, is that, although it's a nice place to put it in, but this is really completely out of context. Because this whole bracha is about thanks. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the bracha here, we have a request. Right? It's a very strange thing, because all the rest of the bracha, in its entirety, and even when you add an alanisim, the same thing, it's all a statement of thanks. And here in the middle, we put in a request. Very strange, right? Was if this request could have made anywhere in the middle brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, I know anywhere, but a lot of the middle brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, which have to do with requests. Yet we wait to say this until we get to Bodim. So I think, I never saw this inside, but my own understanding of this is that it's kind of like we're saying to Hashem, you know, you have no choice but to give us life. Why is that? Because, you know, all these, who's going to say over your praises, who's going to be grateful to you, if not us? We just had a wonderful prayer to thanks to you, Modi Manach Baruch, right? And we're about to say as well, B'chol Chaim Yudu Chotelo, all those who are alive will praise you. So we want to let you know, Hashem, that we're very grateful, but since precisely because we are very grateful, you should note that it's only if you give us life that there's going to be somebody who's going to be able to praise you. I don't know if that's why, but I think that's the idea. We're coming to Hashem with kind of almost a demand and say, this is the way it's got to be. Because otherwise, it's not going to, where is your praise going to come from? How is the bracha and the tehillah, how is the bracha and the uplifting going to happen if there is not a Jewish people to bring it about? And that's why it says, so v'chaim tovim ko b'nei b'yisecha, all the members of your covenant, right? The covenant is the relationship which is guaranteed between Hashem and the Jewish people, right? We say to God, listen, we have a guarantee. We deserve a guarantee. Why do we deserve the guarantee? Because we're keeping up our end of the bargain. How are we keeping up our end of the bargain? More or less. By bestowing upon you, on your name, this blessing and this uplifting. So therefore, you should be reminded of the covenant which we have, and you should inscribe us for a good life. And it's interesting also this statement, Chaim Tovim, for a good life. At the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, when we add on the first bracha, if you take a look back on page 98. So we add on there, we say, Zachreinu l'chaim melchabetz b'chaim, because Zachreinu say v'chaim l'mam kolotim chaim. Remember us for life, O King who desires life, and inscribe us in the book of life for your sake, O living God. Then say, Zachreinu l'chaim tovim. Then say for a good life over there. So just remember us for life. But here we say, Uksov l'chaim tovim. Why over here we say, Uksov l'chaim tovim? I mean, what does it mean? So, it's not clear to me exactly what it means. The article on the bottom says it means that wants to have a life which is committed to or dedicated to his will. But I think the idea is, on a simple level, that we thank God for the good things we have. We want to continue to thank God. So therefore, in order to continue to thank God, let's just write it for life. We truly have to thank Hashem for life, but we'd like to have much more to thank for. So therefore, since we'd like to have much more to thank for, so therefore we ask not just for Chaim, but rather we ask for kind souls, to have a good life, to be able to thank Hashem fully, and therefore we want to have this Chaim Tovim. The Chaim Tovim is good in the sense that I don't know, specifically a physical sense, but but rather it means that a person has a life which he feels accomplished, he feels satisfied, he feels that things are going the way they should be going. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be rich, or doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be poor. Doesn't mean, rather means that the life which he has is one which he will feel is for his good, something which is benefiting him, whether in the temporary sense, less so, but more so in the eternal sense, in giving him, you know, the possibility of living a very meaningful and eternal, long-lasting life with long-lasting ramifications. So I think that's why it's over here, although I know it could be I'm wrong, and maybe you have a better reason, and maybe you'll think of one this year when you insert this machine on Shani Yom Kippur, as to why this is inserted here. But we go on and we say, V'chol ha'chayim yoduch osel, we stress that very much. We stress that living people give praise. If you take a look in Hallel, on page 636 at the top, it says, we say in Hallel, Lo ha-meitim yahalu lukah v'lo koi yodei dumah. Neither the dead can praise God, nor any who descends into silence. It's a very powerful statement which David HaMelech is making, which is the flip side of the statement over here, which is that here we say that v'chol ha-chayim yaduch osel, all those alive are going to be praised, and to him we say, v'lo ha-meitim yahalu lukah. So the question is, why can't dead people give their praise to God? What do you mean they don't give praise to God? They still have neshamos. What do you mean they don't give praise? Malachim give praise to Hashem. Angels, right?
Not physical.
What?
Not the body's praise.
So what does that mean? So what? Why is the body's praise important?
That's like serving, you can praise Hashem, but you can't serve Hashem after you die.
Excuse me?
You can't.
True, you can't serve Hashem after you die. But David HaMelech says, King David says more than that here. He says, the Lord makes me hallelujah. They're not going to praise.
Yeah, but work is like a form of, work is being a form of praise. If your work is a way you can praise God, but you can't do that type of praise.
It's okay, that's true. Is there any praise or any thanks you can give God after you die?
Any type of praise you can? Well, I can imagine that you could give honor after.
Right, you can't do any avoda. But obviously, it seems to me, right? You can't do any avoda. You can't serve Hashem in the way of whether by work or by physical mitzvahs and things like that. But it seems that you can, nevertheless, thank Hashem retroactively, at least, for having done all sorts of good things for you, or having done all sorts of things for the world or in general. And certainly to be able to praise God when you perceive God that much more. It's a strange thing. Why we still say that law makes me call. By the way, there from this I love this pasuk in Hallel, law makes me halakha. The dead people not praise God. The Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi learns interesting halakha. Then from here they learn the halakha. They're not allowed to use a dry lulav on sukkahs. Dry out lulav because the dry lulav is dead. And since it's dead, well, Mason Mihal Lukha, you can't use the dried out lulav to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So I think perhaps you have to say something along the lines that you said, but perhaps embellishing it a bit more, which is that it doesn't mean that Neshama can't thank God. Neshama can't thank God after it's dead. When you say Law Mason Mihal Lukha, it means that the thing which is dead, the body, can't praise God. In other words, yes, neshama is eternal, it's always alive. But the body can't praise God unless it exists in this world. For example, it says, the next line there in Tehillim, for lo kol yardei duma, not all those who go down to silence. What does it mean to silence? It means you can only express voice when you have vocal cords. Whatever neshama does, it's not voice in our sense, what we call voice. Might be some means of communication which a neshama has, but it's not voice like voice which is produced by air going through a person's vocal cords and through a person's, you know, entire system of producing sounds. So therefore, what we're saying is that the neshama might last forever and might have praise in its own way, but the thing, the physical thing, which also gives praise to Hashem and it gives faith in a way which is physical, even speaking, because even speaking is physical, that doesn't exist when a person is dead. And the painting was called, it was our book here, the Cholachayim Yoduchot Tzeloh, all those who are alive will give praise, not those who are dead, will give thanks, not those who are dead, they also can give thanks, but they can't give thanks the same way. The thanks which we're talking about is a unique kind of thanks. It's the expression of thanks which a person verbalizes, and whatever happens after a person's death, they can't verbalize it anymore. So that's what could be that one interpretation of a Chol Chaim Yoduchot Tzeloh means that, while you're alive, you can give, you can enunciate, you can verbalize thanks. When you're dead, you can't do that anymore. But I think there's another shot also what it says here, a Chol Chaim Yoduchot Tzeloh. The other shot, the other interpretation which I would give is to say that it doesn't mean just in my generation. The word tzela, as we said, is a word which is hard to translate. But in some translation, the word tzela have it translated as something which takes place over, you know, eternity, or a long amount of time. So therefore, what it's saying is that it's not just in our generation, not just me, that is Moses to Hashem, that thanks to Hashem, but there's there's a link from generation to generation, for which each generation praises Hashem. Each generation, as it comes to life, praises Hashem in its own turn. So what we're saying is that all those who live over the course of history, and not just, by the way, not just human beings, but even things which are alive in the sense of animals. That's why there is a brisa, a Tanaic word called Pirkei Shira, the chapters of songs, which gives the songs which each one of the various, not all of them, obviously, but each one of the various different kinds of animals gives to Hashem. Why do you have the animals give praise to Hashem? They give praise to Hashem by existing and doing what they're supposed to do. And what they do and they're supposed to do is reflected in the pasuk, which is what that Pirkei Shira describes them. It's not that the animals actually open their mouths and produce these words. They can't. They can't even think the words. But by definition, the fact that they exist produces this kind of praise to Hashem. So V'chol Achayim Yoduchot Tzeloh, it means not just us, not just B'nei B'risecha, not just the members of the covenant, like we say in that insertion, but rather everything which is alive. Everything thanks Hashem. How does it thank Hashem? By doing the will of Hashem. By coming and fulfilling what Hashem desired for it to do. So V'chol Achayim Yoduchot Tzeloh, it means not just at one point in history, but throughout history. There is thankfulness to Hashem inherent in creation. The next line says that they will give true praise to Hashem. That's a strange thing. What does it mean, Yahalu Shimcha? They're going to praise your name. The Emet, the truth. What's praising Hashem? Not with truth. What does it mean? What does it mean specifically with truth? Why are we emphasizing that?
Praising him in a way that shows understanding of what you're trying to praise, or what you should be praising.
It could be that you have, in other words, you're not just praising out of a sense of general, you know, awe, but rather you have a specific understanding of what you're thanking Hashem for.
Proper understanding.
or rather, praising Hashem based on that. I think that might be true, and I think that another possibility is that, there is, to another human being, there's a concept of giving false thanks, right? You don't really mean thank you, but you say thank you because it's polite, because if the person will reciprocate, there is a reason to be polite and nice, even if it's not done out of a true, sincere motivation to be nice and thankful to the other person. With God, you can't get around that. You can't fool around like that. God knows when you are trying to delude him, or try to deceive him, and therefore you can't actually try and deceive him. So therefore it says, V'halu Hashimcha v'emet, I think what it means is that God's praises are meaningless if they're not done in a sincere fashion, and God, because God doesn't regard them as praises. What we're saying is that there are times when a person might say things which he doesn't mean. But we're saying that Everything sincerely thanks Hashem, or sincerely praises Hashem, again in its existence. And that which exists, it isn't of itself a praise to Hashem. And people themselves, right? Yalu Hashim Chodemet, ideally speaking, if they say Modim, they say a prayer like this, they should have true thankfulness to Hashem too. It would be pretty embarrassing to stand before God and say thank you and not really mean what one is saying. Unfortunately, I don't know if the prayer here is addressing our day and age or is addressing an optimum situation, but unfortunately it's not necessarily so that everybody praises Hashem in truth. So I'm not sure how the author of this prayer could have said, the Chol HaChayim Yodu Chotzelo, everybody is going to give thanks to Hashem, the Alu Hashim Chol Be'emet, and they're going to give praise to your name. If you learn it together, by the way, with the insert, if you learn it together with the insert for Yom Yodu, for a short time, give, it makes a lot of sense. It says, listen, give everybody life, and then everybody is going to praise you. And they're going to give true, they're going to say thank you, and they're going to give true praise to you. But otherwise, how does it fit in? Once you haven't made a request, it's kind of strange to say, V'chol HaKayim Yodu Chotzelo, everybody. And everybody's going to be Mahal Hashim Chol Be'emet. Very strange. Right? So I think that maybe it looks like this. When it says, V'akulam Yisbarach Yisroel Hashim Chol Malkein Tamid Lam Vayet, on all of them, all these things, your name should be blessed and uplifted. When that happens, at the ultimate time when the world is fixed the way it's supposed to be fixed, then the Chol Chaim Yodu Chotzelo. Then everybody will give thanks to Hashem, and the Alu Shem Chol Be'emet will be able to give true praise to Hashem. Meaning, in this world, in the here and now, it's not everybody gives thanks to Hashem because not everybody perceives Hashem. Nor does everybody give true praise to Hashem. So some people who praise Hashem in this world do so either insincerely, they don't really mean it, or they do it for their own advantage. Right? They know, if I scratch God's back, he'll scratch mine. I don't know if they know that, but they assume that that's the case. So therefore they are flattering vis-a-vis Hashem in order that hopefully they can trick Hashem, so to speak, and find favor in Hashem's eyes, and Hashem should grant them all sorts of good stuff. So then, that praise is not a valid form of praise. And it's a pretty stupid thing to do because God really can see through that form of praise. Right? It's God to see these things. So there, but so that, so what I'm saying is that if and when, when Hashem does these things, is uplifted, expanded, uplifted, however you understand those words, then, at that point, everybody will be able to praise Hashem. They'll thank Hashem, they'll all see. The Alu Hashim Chol Be'emet, they'll give true praise to Hashem. Why? Because at that point they'll see how everything is, is directed for our own good, for our benefit, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's when it's going to occur. And it seems that way also from the next part of the Baruch. It says, V'chol Chayim Yodu Chotzelo, the Alu Hashim Chol Be'emet, Hakel Yeshua Seinu, God was our salvation and our assistance at all times. So we seem to say that when are we able to thank Hashem properly? When Hashem is our salvation and our assistance. Now, the truth is we should thank Hashem now also, even if He has saved us, so to speak, and even if He hasn't yet helped us, so to speak, because in reality, Hashem is helping, is saving and helping the Jewish nation at all times, it's just that we don't perceive it. But it's certainly when Hashem makes the ultimate redemption, or Hashem even just helps us out, then that's enough to get us to praise Hashem. So as we say, first, redemption, because then, of course, redemption generates, provokes feelings of thankfulness, but even as well, even if Hashem just helps us out, doesn't save us, but He helps us, you know, He facilitates our existence. That of itself is a reason enough to thank Hashem. So we say, Akel Yeshua Seinu, Akel means He has the strength, El, the language of El, when you use it with the vis-a-vis Hashem, it means He's a powerful one. He's powerful, and ever since He's powerful, He can save us. And ever since He's powerful, He can help us. And because He saves us, and of course, ultimately, the greatest salvation will be the time of the redemption. So because He saves us, and even if He doesn't save us for whatever reason, but He does help us out, so therefore, and He does that fellow all the time, so therefore we have to thank Him all the time. Now, there's an interesting phenomenon which happens here, which I'm not sure I'm right about, but I think it's with here, which is that we thank Hashem not just for the past and not just for the present, but we thank Hashem for the future as well. Meaning, if a person is very secure in knowing that things are going to work out in the end, so he can be grateful already from now for the person who's running this plan, whatever it is, right? Because that person has put into plan put into practice a plan which ultimately is going to have a very positive impact. So right now it's not yet positive, but since I know eventually I'm going to get something very good out of it, so therefore I should really praise Hashem already now, or whoever it is now, right? Let's say, I know that in a few days a certain person is going to give me a large sum of money. So I'm already grateful to that person now, before I get the money. I think that person in a rosier, more positive perspective, because he's going to give me a donation. So therefore, what I'm saying is that since eventually Hashem is going to redeem us, Hashem is going to save us, so therefore, we indeed give praise now, right? He's eventually going to be our Ezra and Yeshua, but because he's going to be our Ezra and Yeshua then, it doesn't necessarily just mean we're going to give praise then, but rather now as well. Our trust in Hashem, our betrothal in Hashem, our faith in that He will fulfill His obligations towards us is so strong that we can thank Hashem already now.
Why do you need to know that the money is going to be given? Why wouldn't you just thank for future at all times? Because you know that the plan is all good.
You're right. That's because of Hashem. That's not because of another human being. Yeah, in other words, another human being, if he promised to give you money and he doesn't, you'll probably come to hate it. Right, so that's not we're trying to make the metaphor work out. But the point is that if you have enough bitachon, you have enough security and trust in Hashem, you should be able to have thankfulness to Hashem, even if now you don't have enough. You don't have what you want. But nevertheless, Hashem, what you want, maybe you shouldn't get all together, but you don't have what you think you should have. So nevertheless, you know that Hashem is going to make sure to give you what is good, not necessarily to you personally, by the way, but what's good for the Jewish nation, because remember, everything is being said in plural, right? And never, it's hard to keep track of that. But this whole bracha, just like all the brachas Shema Atzeret said in plural, I myself might not get what's good, that precisely which I think is good for myself, but the Jewish nation as a whole, they're going to be saved, they're going to be redeemed. Yeah, they're going to be helped. Even if one individual, or two individuals, or 5,000 individuals are not worthy of it, since the totality is worthy of it, that's just going to happen. So therefore, I thank Hashem again on behalf of the entire nation for what Hashem not just did and does on the nisim he made, on the flows he made, the miracles and wonders, but also on that which he's going to do. That which he's going to do means that he's going to save us, that he's going to redeem us. Okay, so I think that that's one interpretation of this last line. And saying Hashem in the future, another possible interpretation is that Hashem is saying to us, or rather we're saying to Hashem, excuse me, we're saying to Hashem, you know, we see already in our day and age, a person has Yeshuas and a person has Ezros. Rather with Yeshua, a person knee is very sick, right? A person is very sick and something has gone terribly wrong, and Hashem helps him out. That's Yeshua, that's the salvation. Even in our day and age. In the case of a, in the case of, yesterday they had this, I don't know how many of you follow the news, but yesterday they had this rocket which landed in a kibbutz, or shot out of the Gaza Strip, and the rocket came into a house, actually came through the wall, and landed in somebody's bed, and nobody got hurt. There were three people sleeping there at the time, a mother and two kids. Nobody got hurt. What happened was, the bomb hit the bed, the top of the bomb, like the engine, so it went on top of the bed, and the warhead, which had like shrapnel, went under the bed and exploded there. So nothing went up through the bed, and the casing of the rocket, didn't explode. So therefore, they were saved from any injury. Right? So very miraculous thing. So one wondrous thing. They don't give out the name of the kibbutz because they don't want the people in Gaza to know how accurate their rockets are being fired. I don't know which kibbutz it was in. It's in the papers today. So that type of thing is Yeshua. We would call that a salvation. Why Hashem chose to make the salvation here, now, for these people, I don't know. Right? Whatever reason. But that is a very good example of a very big salvation. Now, that means that Hashem is always involved. Not just in the future. That's true. In the future will be involved, things will be much more revealed. But Hashem also is revealed now. And is also involved now. And you can see that in, if a person looks carefully, in his slowest and least in the wonders and miracles which happen to a person, which are usually much smaller than this dramatic, you know, incident which happened yesterday in Israel. But there are incidents in a person's life where a person is supposed to perceive how Hashem saved him. Or Hashem saved the community. And so on and so forth. So therefore, those are things where Hashem saved even in our day and age, and that is when a person feels the true thanks to Hashem. That's why there's Allah, the Torah brings down that at certain instances, not all the time, certain instances you bring a korban toda. Korban toda was a sacrifice which was brought to thank Hashem. And in fact, the Gemara says, I don't remember exactly how this works, but the Gemara says that word, the word chayim, good man, is the Rosh Tevos, is the acrostic for the things for which you bring a korban toda. One of them is chavush, somebody came out of prison. A chayle, that's for somebody who was sick. The other is yoreh v'yom, somebody goes down to sea, he goes on a boat, a long distance ship, I imagine. Yoreh v'yom, somebody who comes out of prison. And fourth one, I forgot what the man is. But anyway, those four things are the four reasons for which a person says the Birchas HaGoyim, a person says, I have to say something about coming from a trip. I don't remember how it fits into a mem. Something from coming from the derech. Something coming from a trip. Hey, I don't remember how it fits into a mem, but the idea is, also here, it's the commentary, but now there's the Chol HaChayim Yoduchosav. What's Chayim? This is a classic. Of those people who are liable for a korban toda, person who brings that special korban, they have a unique quality in that they have a true perception of how to thank Hashem. Now it's interesting, you know, a person, according to most understandings, I think there might be one panel argument, but I think according to most understandings, you can't bring on your own a korban toda. You can't say, if I'm not fulfilling, if I don't fit into one of these four categories, you can't say, well, I'm going to bring a korban toda anyway. Doesn't work that way. Why is that? Because a person, in order to be grateful, a person should be able to distinguish between big things and small things. Should be able to be grateful for the small things also. But you have to have a distinction between great and small, because otherwise your gratitude is meaningless. If you can't value what a person did for you, whether it's a lot or a little, then your gratitude doesn't mean anything, because it's not reciprocating, it's not responding at all, it's like a rote response, no matter what you get. Whether it's a big good or a little good, so to speak. So therefore, there's a welcome tether that you don't always bring carbon tether. That's not always appropriate. Sometimes you bring it, sometimes not. In order to be able to distinguish between the big and the small. The big which requires major gratitude, and the small which doesn't require as much gratitude. Does it require no gratitude? No, of course, everything requires gratitude. Every time Hashem does you a favor, right? If you happen, you happen to, what you call, to be able to make it... Well, that would be a good example of something which you have to thank Hashem. Let's say you got a new job, right? So if you got a new job, you don't bring a korban. You don't bring one of the sacrifices. But in theory, it's something which you have to thank Hashem for. So how do you thank Hashem? Okay, you find a way to thank Hashem. But the bottom line is there have to be many ways in which we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things which went right. So what we're saying here is that the Chol HaChayim Yoduchosav. We're saying is that everybody can give gratitude to God. Listen to the way I'm reading it now. The Chol HaChayim Yoduchosav. Everybody can give gratitude to God, but in reality, on a different level, it's only Chol HaChayim Yoduchosav. Those people who are subject to those categories which Chazal enumerated, which bring Korban Toda, they are the ones who really can thank Hashem. And they can thank Hashem. Hakel Yeshua Tzeinu Vezor Tzeinu Sela. Those who they can give true thanks to Hashem because they have something unique to appreciate. And that is Okel Yeshua Tzeinu Vezor Tzeinu Sela. And that is because in their lives they experienced something which was a true salvation or a true assistance. So therefore there are two levels of people, right? and two levels understand the bracha. One level of saying bracha is going on everybody all times. It's saying everybody all times is capable of saying Hashem in truth. Why? Because of the salvations and help which he renders, even now in the world's come, but Hashem helps. The other way of understanding is that Melchor Achayim, those four guys, they have the capacity to truly thank Hashem. And that's why they're the ones who are called the Toda. Everybody else, it's not so simple. But they at least have the capacity because they saw something much more explicit, and for them it's a much more powerful and meaningful thing. Okay, so there's two levels in which to read the bracha. I like the first way better, because it has, even though I saw the second way brought down, because I think this first way makes it more, you know, popular, and more, has to do more with everybody, not just to do with a small elite of people who happen to have, at least it's about, not the right word, but a small amount of people who actually experience Hashem's, you know, utmost salvation, but rather I think it means that everybody has an access to being, so to speak, under the big tent of Hashem's salvation, and therefore everybody can thank Hashem as a result. And then we end the bracha, Ruch Atah Hashem, Hatov Shimcha, Uruchana El Hodos. Now, it's interesting because the halacha is, Ein Chaytzim B'Shnayim. You now have to end the bracha with two different ideas. A bracha has to end with one idea, not two. Why is that? Because the signature of the bracha is supposed to capture the essence of the bracha. And here there seems to be two ideas, right? Hatov Shimcha, your name is good. By the way, there's two interpretations of that too. Which is Hatov Shimcha means your name is good, or your name is good. Your name is good, meaning you have a good name. Or your name is good, meaning your name, you're one of your Hashem's many names, is good. You see the two ways of doing it? Hatov Shimcha, your name is good, or your name, that name is good. Okay? So both work. The Hatov Shimcha, in any event, that seems like one thing, as Uchon HaLehotos, and if you would, it's proper to give thanks, seems like another thing. So obviously there must be more a way to put them both together. How would you say in order to put them both together? Hatov Shimcha Uchon HaLehotos. How would you translate it? Your name is the beneficent one. Beneficent one, I think it's where I read. Beneficent one, and to you it is a thing to give thanks. So he says your name, right? Not your name is good. Your name is the beneficent one. And to you it is fitting to give thanks. So, in order that it's not, it shouldn't be two different things, you know, which would be a no-no, we have to say.
Just for your name is enough to pay for the baby. Just for the good of your name.
That's good. Either way it will work out though. You can say, if it means your name is a beneficent one, meaning you are called by a name which indicates that you're good, so that is the reason why it's Noel Lehodos. Right? That's the reason why it's proper to give thanks to you. And not to anything else. That's an important point. Of course you're supposed to thank everybody else. Right? You're supposed to thank everybody who does a favor for you. But Chod Noel Lehodos means to you it's beautiful. How do you translate it? It's fitting. That's a lousy translation. Noel means really it's beautiful to give thanks. Why is that? Because everything ultimately comes from Hashem. Hashem is the first cause of everything. If I get something good from you, I'm supposed to demonstrate you thanks. But really I'm demonstrating you thanks because you are a tool of Hashem. Not because, you know, you've done something good for me. You're only an agent. So ultimately, the true beauty of thankfulness, so to speak, where it should truly be directed, at Hatov Shimcha, at the guy with the good name. Why the guy with the good name? Because he's the one who actually is the source of all those goods. And surely, if like the article translates it, Hatov Shimcha meaning your name is the good one, then of course, where does all good come from? Good comes from Hashem. And therefore, I should really come from the Tov, from the fact that Hashem is Tov. The fact that Hashem is good, He does good. So therefore, my thankfulness definitely has to be directed at Hashem. So the theme is, not that we're giving you thanks, you're a great one and we're giving you thanks. The theme is, because Hatov Shimcha, therefore L'chon Noel L'chodos. That's why it's proper, fitting, beautiful to give you praise. The utmost praise, or thanks, I should say. The utmost thanks should go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, that the beginning of the statement underlies and underlines the end of the statement. Because you are the Tov, whether that's because that's your name or that's what your name is good, so therefore L'chana Elozo, the proper place to give the utmost and ultimate thanks is to Hashem. That's a very tough thing to do, by the way. Very, very tough. Because one of the tremendous drives within the human being is not to feel indebted to somebody else. Did you ever realize that about yourself? Mm-hmm. Human beings don't like feeling indebted. They don't like feeling indebted. That's why, very often, I saw this recently. Somebody spoke about this, about the feeling of indebtedness. Very often, if a person... I just quoted this somewhere. I took the Elvis here, but I don't remember where I got it from. I don't remember what it has to do with. But anyway, very often, one of the farmers I saw brought down, so the things I'm finding out here, he said, very often, if you do something good for me, I'm really going to want to reciprocate. Right? Let's say, you know, you invited me for a meal. So I really want to invite you for a meal. You know, you dug out my car from the snow. So I really want to give you, you know, some cash reward or something like that, right? He says that to give the reward or reciprocate immediately afterwards is a lack of hakaras hatov. It's a lack of gratitude. I don't know what I saw. Okay, I saw a sefer of Drush and Zayt Yishai. Not that so happy much since you never saw a sefer. But I said, it's a beautiful idea, he said. He says, why is Shavuos not right after Pesach? Shavuos comes 49 days after Pesach. Not right away. Why is that? Because Shavuos is when we thank Hashem. Pesach is when Hashem did us a great favor, he took us out of Egypt, and Shavuos is when we reciprocate to Hashem. We say to Hashem, well, as a result of accepting the Torah, and explains how that works into the korbanos, into the sacrifices as well. The sacrifices you bring on Shavuos are the sacrifices of thankfulness, but we bring that 49 days later, not the same day. Why is that? So he explains to Beit Yishai, he says that's because to reciprocate immediately just shows I don't like being indebted to you. It doesn't mean I really appreciate you. On the contrary, it means I see you as a pain because now I owe you something. So I want to get that feeling quickly off my back. And that's why I reciprocate right away. So therefore, the Beit Yishai says, if a person really wants to be grateful, you should wait a while. You shouldn't reciprocate immediately. Yeah, you should reciprocate at some point. But not right away. So he truly feels grateful. And the other person truly feels he did this person a favor. That was a favor, quid pro quo, because I did you a favor, you did me a favor. But rather, a favor, because at that point, you know, I talked to me to the thing, I required this thing, and then later on, much later on, I know much later on, whatever, later on, I return it, the favor, return the favor, but not immediately. If I return immediately, that demonstrates a lack of gratitude. But it says, again, Shavuos, which demonstrates a gratitude, comes 49 days after Pesach, so it's not as if we're throwing that sense of gratitude back in the face. But in fact, it's very hard to feel a sense of gratitude. That's why people do that. They reciprocate immediately because they don't want to feel grateful to other people. And it's very hard to overcome that natural tendency of always evening the score, balancing out. And that's true also vis-a-vis Hashem. People don't like feeling grateful vis-a-vis Hashem. Now, what's if I was out now, so let's say I'm Bill Gates. Right? Bill Gates is about to make another $3.5 billion. Anybody read about that? Today's Wall Street Journal. What? Bill Gates, the owner of Microsoft, is about to make another $3.5 billion just by because Microsoft is giving a stock dividend. And so he has $3 a share and he has a billion shares with Microsoft. Okay, so let's say you are Bill Gates. So how is it, I don't know how much of Bill Gates is actually worth, probably 10, 15 billion, who knows. But those numbers, it really doesn't matter. So, you know, how are you going to think of it? How are you going to thank Hashem for that? Very hard. You know, you see how much you have accomplished on your own. You know, and certainly when you reward yourself with a dividend, which gives you $3 billion, by the way, Bill Gates said he's not keeping any of the money, he's going to give it to his foundation. His foundation, which is also quite wealthy. Now it's going to have that foundation will have $30 billion and its endowments. So, idea is that it's hard to feel if you have a tremendous sense of accomplishment. That you're really indebted to somebody else. On the contrary, I want to make you indebted to me. Because that gives me a sense of power over you. I don't want to feel indebted to you. In other words, I could come in to a room and I can give a great cheer. I'm not saying today's not such a great cheer, but what a great cheer, right? So now I could actually do that because I want this, because I want this Torah. I can do it because I want you to feel indebted to me. I want you to walk out of the room feeling, wow, that offer gave a really great cheer. I really owe him thanks. Even if you don't thank me, it gives me a tremendous sense of satisfaction that I think that I've imparted something worthwhile for which you should thank me. So this is not something which, not something that's a very big drive within a human being to be thanked, but I know that I not be thankful to other people. But I want to have recognition, but it's very difficult for me to recognize others. That's what we said. We started modim. We said that it starts with the word modim, which means to thank, but also means to admit. Because gratitude means admitting that somebody else did me something good, and holding on to that. Gratitude also entails holding on to that thought. Now, it's not giving, trying not to reciprocate and get rid of the thought, but keep the thought going. Keep it in mind. And that's why you're supposed to delay the time when you reciprocate. So here, when you talk about Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we say thank you, it's very hard to say thank you, Hashem. It's easy to say the words. You know, the words are there, and they're written down, so what's the big deal of saying the words? But it's very hard to actually feel that feeling of thankfulness, particularly because Hashem didn't come to me and give me a lollipop directly. I have to actually think that, oh, these clothes that I'm wearing, the food that I'm eating, are a lollipop from God, so to speak. So that's a very difficult thing to do. So therefore, people are not necessarily in line with the idea of thanking God. Even people say thank God all the time. It's meaningless, right? People just roll the phrase off their mouth. Baruch Hashem, right? Mirz Hashem, thank God. It's all meaningless phrases. Because they don't mean anything to a person's heart. The person just mumbles them automatically by rote. Like, I saw Rabbi Avraham Elie Kaplan, one of the great, brilliant scholars in Eastern Europe, in Lithuania. He said that in Lithuania, they didn't say Baruch Hashem. Now, nowadays, somebody actually was doing it right, you say, Baruch Hashem, right? Which is actually a meaningless statement, because Baruch Hashem what? If you're doing lousy, and your business is failing, and your wife is walking out on you, still Hashem is Baruch. Still Baruch Hashem. You wouldn't say the opposite. So, regardless, people use Baruch Hashem as if they're saying things are going great. But, it's really a meaningless statement, Baruch Hashem. And therefore, in Lithuania, they didn't say these things. You know, like they didn't use Hashem's name in common conversation. It's an interesting idea because Gemara and Brachos seems to contradict that. Gemara and Brachos says that Boaz, who eventually married Ruth, initiated a decree that people, when they greet each other, should say Hashem's name. The way they used it at the same time with Boaz was the person who came first to say Hashem Yimachem, God be with you, and the person who the other person to respond, Yivarechach Hashem, may God bless you. We don't do that. We do something similar, which is Shalom Aleichem. And Shalom, we say, not just be in terms of peace, but rather because one of the names of Hashem is Shalom. And the other person answers Aleichem Shalom. But the thing is, it seems like Boaz's primary intent was to get Jews to start using Hashem's name. But on the other hand, in Lithuania, the exact opposite was true. People felt that using Hashem's name in a mechanical way, by rote, is a very meaningless thing. And the person who says Baruch Hashem, it really should be something where he meditates on how much he has to thank Hashem for, right, or how much he has to bless Hashem for, and that's a really tough thing to do. So since that's a tough thing to do, so therefore, it's a very tough thing to have Kapha Kavana in this Baruch Hashem Esrei, I think. And it very happens, often happens to me, I shouldn't say very often, but occasionally happens to me, that there's something where I think before it happens, oh, if this happens, I'm going to thank Hashem so much. Right, I'm going to have a really powerful Shemone Esrei. And when comes time to Shemone Esrei, the same dull, boring Shemone Esrei I always say. Right? Because it's not easy to work up that sense of indebtedness to Hashem, particularly when you're feeling good about something, you want to attribute it to yourself, not to Hashem. So therefore, it's a hard, very hard thing to do. And maybe that's one of the reasons why it's almost at the end of Shemone Esrei. It takes all the way up to that, down so much Shemone Esrei to get there, in order to perhaps be able to thank Hashem properly. That's why the bracha ends, the bracha stresses, like we said, Yihal Lua Shimcha Be'emes. Right, to truly thank Hashem, that's a very hard level. And not everybody is able to do that properly, more than just lip service and saying by rote that Hashem is good, or that Hashem has done something meaningful for them in their lives. Okay. So that is the end of the Kol HaChayim L'Ducha Tela. And as I said, the whole bracha is one bracha from Modim till the Kol HaChayim, till Tov Shulchan Aruch HaKadosh, despite the couple of places where it's interrupted in the Siddur. And then besides the Modim, which we say during this final Shemoneh Esrei, there's the Modim which is the shorter Modim, which you have on page 112, which we say at the same time that the Shliach Tzibur says Modim. As we mentioned, the first thing we did this topic is, for Chazal said, you know, it's not proper for the Shliach Tzibur to say Modim on his own. Everybody should join in, and they made this thing. So it's interesting that here in this one you have a specific request on the future. Here, in the regular Modim, we have allusions to the future. We just said, you know, Hashem is always, Hashem is Yeshua Seinu Bezer Seinu, and maybe that refers to the world to come, when Hashem is going to be our salvation and our help. But in the Modim of Rabbanon, it says explicitly, right? We thank Hashem Hashem Son Kiyam Toro, and that which you kept us alive and sustain us. Keim Chayenu Uskaimenu, so too you should keep us alive and sustain us. And gather our exiles into your holy courtyard. You should do this because we thank you. See that? You should do it so the way the article translates is different. Look at the article, page 113. He says, blessings and thanks to the middle of the grace. Blessings and thanks to thee, your great and holy name, for you have given us life and sustained us. So may you continue to give us life and sustain us, to gather our exiles to the courtyard of the sanctuary, to observe your decrees, to do your will, and to serve you wholeheartedly. And the way I translate it, the next three words are, because we have thanked you. Because we have thanked you, so therefore you should do all those good things for us. But the way the article translates it, the last line is, we thank Hashem for inspiring us to thank you. It's an interesting idea. In other words, even our thank yous have to come from Hashem for inspiring us to give thanks. I think that's not the simple meaning of the bracha. The simple meaning of the bracha is that Hashem says to us, listen, God, there's really nothing you can do for me. Right? If whatever you do is not going to add to me anything, all I'm asking you is a little bit of gratitude. Like a parent often says that to a child. As a parent, let me tell you, it's not a good tactic. But you can try it sometimes. A person says to a child, now, if nothing else, gratitude. Of course, I thought, children are children are a good example of people who don't like giving thanks to their parents, right? This is very simple. Like I said before, people don't like to feel indebted. Some kids don't like to feel indebted to their parents. But in any event, the idea is a similar one. The idea between the parent and child is the same idea as between us and Hashem. Hashem says to us, you can't do anything for me. Right? You can't give me a present. You can't bring me roses. It's not going to do any good. Right? You can't bring me a good bottle of wine. It's not going to do me any good. What I tell you to do is to give me thanks. Actually, by the way, it's not such a good metaphor because we do bring God good bottles of wine and put them on the mizbeach. But okay. The idea is that we don't always... We can't really do things for Hashem which give Hashem physical pleasure, like we could do for another human being. So what does Hashem say? Hashem says, all I want you to do is give thanks. If you recognize you just sense by the fact that you have to give thanks, so you know what, then everything will be fine. That's what he said to Hashem, okay, we just gave thanks. Since we just gave thanks, so you know what? That's what you have to do for us now. But we'll give you more thanks then.